This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, Jimmy Cash, and Paul Whiteman and his music. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Who were your ancestors? Were they famous? Let us trace your family tree and find out. Well, that's the way the ad in the newspaper read. And, of course, Gracie clipped the coupon, unknown to George.
George, did you ever have your family history traced?
My family history?
Sure, you can't tell. Maybe there was somebody in your family who amounted to something.
Thanks, kid.
Did you ever have any famous relatives?
Well, I told you about my Uncle Charlie.
Oh, yeah, but I mean really famous. Not just a man who was known as the squarest bookie in Philadelphia.
What's all this sudden interest in my family?
Oh, nothing. It's just something a wife should know. Didn't I tell you all about my family before we got married?
Yeah, and I married you anyway.
Oh, George. I just thought some of your ancestors might have been famous, that's all. Like maybe you're descended from Robert Burns, one of America's greatest poets.
Gracie, you mean the fellow who wrote Coming Through the Rye?
Yes.
He was Scotch.
Oh, was he?
Hmm.
I never can remember whether he was a Scotch poet who wrote about rye or an American poet
who wrote about Scotch. Well, Robert Burns was a panatella, and I'm going into the library and smoke one.
All right, dear. But don't drop any ashes. We're having company tonight.
Tonight?
Yes.
Oh, gee, I was going to a concert tonight with the fellas. You know how we all love good music.
George, the last time you went to a concert with the boys, I found the ticket stubs in your pocket the next day.
Oh, you did?
Yes, yeah. Tell me, what does Tassels Latour play? Does she play the piano or the violin?
Tassels?
Yes.
Oh, well, she just kind of walks around.
Well, there'll be no more of that from now on.
Yeah.
One of those concert artists is liable to fall off the runway and hurt you.
Look, sweetheart, I don't care anything about the show. I just go to watch Paul Whiteman. He gets such a kick out of it. Can I go? What do you say, dear?
Don't drop any ashes on the floor.
I say.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Postman.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns. Here's a letter for you. It's a glorious day, isn't it?
Oh, yes, indeed. How are you feeling today, Mr. Postman?
The same as every other day, Mrs. Burns. Just bursting with health.
That's nice. You certainly look well.
Oh, yes. But anyone who exercises regularly can become the same physical specimen I am.
Well, if you'll pardon me, Mr. Postman, I'm very anxious to read my letter. I see it's from Professor Henning's Genealogical Institute.
Really? That's a coincidence, because I sent away and had them look up my family tree, too.
Oh, did you?
Yes. The only thing I know about my ancestors is that they came from Wales.
They did? I'll bet they're wonderful swimmers.
Oh, Mrs. Burns, you say such funny things. I just have to laugh.
Well, I'm anxious to read this letter, Mr. Postman, so I'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Oh, I'm so excited. Now I can learn all about George's family background. Dear madam, we take pleasure in informing you that your husband, Mr. George Burns, is the direct descendant of an ancient Scottish king. This report... Oh, my goodness, a king! George is a king!
Hiya, Gracie. Where's George?
Oh, Bill, the most wonderful thing has happened.
What?
I've just discovered that George has royal blood.
Well, say, that is wonderful. Didn't know the kid had any.
Oh. I'm not joking, Bill. It's true. Professor Henning's Institute says that George is a Scottish king. And it only cost me 50 cents.
Well, you certainly got your 4 bits worth.
Yes. Now George and I are perfectly mated. There's some royal blood in my family, too, you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure. When Mama was a girl, she was chosen queen of the annual Spring Onion Festival.
Well, gee, just think of George Burns taking his place with famous kings like Louis the 14th, King of France, Richard the Lion-Hearted, King of England, Swan the Suds and Whiz, King of Soaps.
Oh, Bill. I don't believe there ever was a king with a name like that.
Like what?
Richard the Lion-Hearted.
Why, Gracie, Richard the Lion-Hearted took the throne of England back in 1189. I remember the date because it was just exactly 752 years before the introduction of Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than the finest Castiles.
Well, tell me some more about Richard the Lionhearted, Bill. You know, I think I'll pick a name like that for George. Mm-hmm. Like, George the Tiger Lungs. Or, George
How about George the Chicken Liver?
He'll sound like an hors d'oeuvre. Tell me more about Richard the Lionhearted.
Well, I tell you, Gracie, he was a great fighter and a great eater. You see, they say that he could eat an entire side of beef at one sitting.
Well, that was possible in those days.
Well, can you imagine the dishwashing that went on in his castle, Gracie? What a shame they didn't have Swan. Swan is great for washing dishes, you know, because it suds faster than other white floating soaps. And since Swan is purer than the finest Castiles, it's bound to help keep your hands smooth and lovely. That's why you should use Swan for every soap and water job. You know, it might be just the thing to wash George's kilts.
Kilts?
Oh, sure. If he's a descendant of a Scottish king, he ought to wear kilts.
Oh, no, no, no. I've seen George's legs, and I think all of his royal blood must be above his knees.
Well, don't worry, Gracie. He can show his ancestry by being thrifty. He can practice thrift by breaking Swan in two with an easy twist of the wrist and using half in the kitchen for dishes and housework and half in the bathroom for his hands and face. Aye.
Oh, that's a wonderful accent, Bill. But George is a Scotch king, not a French king.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Oh, greetings, Your Majesty.
Hi, Highness.
Huh?
Is there anything you wish, sire?
Who, me?
May I fetch you a goblet of 7-Up?
Now, what's this?
Gracie, His Majesty looks perplexed.
Well, all right, the joke's over. Now, what's this all about?
Oh, I've got the nicest surprise for you, dear. You're a king.
A king?
Yes.
Well, that's nice. Not
oh,
great,
Judge, I set away for your family tree, and there was a Scotch king growing on it.
Gracie, what have you started now?
Oh, but George is wonderful. Just think, from now on, you'll be his Grace, and I'll be her Gracie.
This is Paul Whiteman. You've heard this tune plenty of times by now, but here are the boys and the six hits and a miss with what we consider a different arrangement of Moonlight Becomes You.
Becomes you so.
I see. I don't care what those people wrote you. I'm telling you for the 50th time, I'm not a king. Do you understand?
Yes, Your Majesty.
And stop calling me Your Majesty.
Yes, Your Highness.
And don't call me Your Highness either.
Yes, Your Kingship.
Look, sweetheart, I'm not a king.
Well, your ancestors were. And you know what I always say? Blood is thicker than,
water.
What?
I said blood is thicker than water.
Well, of course it is. What's so wonderful about that?
Never mind. Forget it. Forget it.
Oh, did your loving subject say something to offend His Majesty?
Look, will you please stop?
Well, if I did, you have the right to banish me from your kingdom.
Gracie.
But you better not banish me further than Pasadena. We've only got 3 gallons of gas.
Look, for the last time, I'm trying to... Come in.
Are you the party who called me on the phone?
Oh, yes. Go right in the next room and get started.
Okay, Lenny.
Who is that?
A carpenter. I've got a little job for him to do. And when he's through with that one, I'm going to have him carve the Burns coat of arms on the front door.
There's no Burns coat of arms.
Well, I'm making one. You know, the coat of arms denotes what the head of the house is famous for.
Look, Gracie.
If he's a brave knight, he has 2 lances crossed.
Yes, but...
If he's a brave hunter, he has 2 guns crossed.
Yes, but...
Yours is going to be beautiful. I'm crossing 2 cigars.
Yes, I'm a very brave smoker. Now, Gracie, stop this foolishness. I'm not a king. I'm not a king. I'm not a king.
You are, too.
Oh.
Here comes your little son, the crown prince.
Don't call that Don Duck my son.
Herman, Mama has a marvelous surprise for you. Do you know what your daddy George is? You do? Herman, he is not.
Oh, fine.
Your daddy George is a king.
What?
A king. That's a man who's stronger and smarter than other men, and everybody bows down to him. Oh, now, Herman, that's no way for a crown prince to act.
Crown prince? I'd like to see him sitting on the throne of mashed potatoes. Go on, go on, go on.
Boys, I mean, Your Majesty, please.
Now, look, Gracie, I'm getting out of here before I go stark raving crazy.
Oh, Your Majesty, would you stop at the bakery and get me a 6 poppy seed rolls? My, kings are temperamental. Well, I'd better see how the carpenter is doing. Well, how's the work going, carpenter?
Oh, fine, lady. I've done just like you told me. Nailed one of the dining room chairs on a pedestal 2 feet high.
Oh, good.
Hey, what's the idea? So your little boy can reach a table?
Oh, no, no. When my little boy wants to reach the table, he just flies up there.
Your son can fly?
Well, of course. He's nearly 2 years old. He'd be pretty backward if he couldn't fly by now.
Holy gee, I got a kid that old who can't even walk yet.
Well, give him time. Say, that chair does look nice, though. Oh, I know my husband will be delighted with it.
Oh, it's for your husband?
Uh-huh.
He's a midget?
Oh, no, no. You see, this chair is going to be his throne. He happens to be a king.
Oh, a what?
A king.
And that, of course, makes you a queen.
Oh, yes, naturally.
And your son, he's sort of a flying prince.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, well, I guess I better be going, queen. Goodbye.
Oh, but I haven't paid you for the job yet.
Oh, don't bother. I probably only spend the money anyway. Goodbye.
Oh, no, wait. Wait, here comes my husband. I know you're dying to meet him. Hello, dear.
Hello.
Dear, this is Mr. Brown,
Harry Brown. How do you do, your imperialism?
Out, out. Go on, get out. Imperialism. Gracie, I've had about all I can stand of this thing. People on the street are staring at me like I'm some kind of a freak. What did you do? Phone everybody in town about this?
Well, George, on my word, I only mentioned it to 2 people, the Times and the Examiner.
Well, this tops everything you've ever done. You've made me the laughing stock of this whole town.
Oh, well, let them laugh. They laughed at all great kings. Julius Caesar, Frederick the Great, Henry VIII. They even laughed at William of Orange. But if he hadn't invented them, where would the state of California be?
I don't want to hear any more about it. I'm going up to my room.
Oh, very well, Your Highness.
Stop calling me Your Highness. Of all the ridiculous, idiotic stunts she's ever pulled. I'm almost sorry I didn't marry the Adagio dancer from Scranton after all. Fine king I am. Can't even go to a show when I want to. Say, wait a second. A king can do no wrong, can he? How about that?
Oh, George,
hello, Queen. How's every little saying?
Oh, aren't you mad at me anymore?
Oh, no. My Majesty has been thinking things over. If I'm a king, I'm a king, that's all.
Well, sure.
And a king can do no wrong, right?
Right.
Good. Now, about going out with the fellas tonight to see Tassel's Latour. I think my royal self needs a little diversion.
Oh, well, then by all means go, Your Majesty. Who am I to tell a great king what to do?
Well, hallelujah. Long may I rule.
Now here's Jimmy Cash singing a song that's on its way up. Three Dreams. Okay, Jimmy.
You're dreaming, she's dreaming, I'm dreaming too. But three dreams are one too many, so my dream can never come true. You love her, love you, I love her too, but three dreams are one too many, so my dream can never come true. My hoping that she would love me was only a madcap scheme that left me in the middle of this crazy little three-cornered dream. You're happy, he's happy, I know I'm through. Three dreams are one too many, so I'll give my dream.
This is the life.
Is Your Majesty quite contented?
Oh, yes. Everything is lovely.
Would Your Majesty care for another cigar?
Oh, no. The two I'm smoking now are fine.
Is that pillow comfortable for your royal head?
Oh, yes.
Is that footstool comfortable for your royal feet?
Oh, sure.
Is that chair comfortable?
Yes, everything is comfy. Ah, boy, this is the life. The king can eat what he pleases, do what he pleases, go where he pleases. Like, say, to a show with the fellows, huh?
Well, of course, sire.
Oh, boy, this is the life.
Would Your Majesty care to partake of a light snack? There's a T-bone steak in the royal icebox.
Steak? How did you manage to get a steak from the butcher?
Oh, it was no trouble. The count was delighted to let me have one.
The butcher is a count?
He is now. I made him a count in exchange for the steak.
I see what you mean.
Oh, yes, I knighted him. It was a lovely ceremony. He knelt down and I tapped him on the head with a cleaver.
Must have been pretty.
Oh, yes. I also got a tin of coffee from the Marquis of A&P.
Well, that's nice.
And a quarter of a pound of butter from the Earl of Safeway.
Don't tell me that you haven't made somebody a baron.
No, not yet. But it'll either be Baron Magnan or Baron Bullock. Whichever one gets nylons in first.
Well, I guess I'll go upstairs and start dressing. How soon will the tailor be through pressing my suit?
Oh, your suit's been back here for 20 minutes.
Really? Say, that's quick service.
Oh, yes. Lord Goldfarb brought it over himself.
Him too, huh?
Oh, he was thrilled when I made him a lord.
Really?
He said it was the only way he could think of that his wife could become a lady.
Well, I'm glad she finally made it. Well, farewell, my queen. I'm going upstairs and shave my royal kisser.
Yes, Your Majesty.
I'm expecting Count Goodwin and Sir Fatso Whiteman any minute. Tell the boys to wait.
Very good, Your Majesty.
By the way, Goodwin doesn't think that you'll let me go out tonight. So straighten him out on that, Queenie. My imperial self will re-imperial in a few minutes.
I'm sitting on top of the world.
Oh, I do wish he weren't going to see that show with the boys. Still, that tasseled Latour is royalty, too. She's advertised as the Queen of Quiver.
Hello, Gracie.
Oh, hello, Bill. Say, about George going out with you tonight.
Oh, now, Gracie, please let George go with Paul and me. He's been looking forward to this for weeks. You don't appreciate what a thrill he gets when the curtain goes up and there we are on the stage demonstrating Swan soap.
Oh, so you're going to demonstrate Swan soap tonight?
Oh, sure, sure. You know, Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than the finest Castiles. You know, money can't buy a purer soap.
But why do you need George and Paul Whiteman?
Oh. Well, after I break Swan in two, they each hold half a bar, you see. George represents the kitchen sink and Whiteman is the tub.
Oh, I see. And where are you going to hold this demonstration?
Where?
Yes.
At the Elks.
The Elks?
Oh, yes, of course. You see, Elks are men, and men have wives. Wives are women, and women have long considered Castile soaps the standard of purity, but Swan is even purer than the finest Castiles. Swan is so pure that it's kind to a little baby's tender skin. That's why thousands of mothers use Swan to bathe their babies.
Oh, is Tassel's Latour an elk?
And if Swan is kind to a baby's tender skin, then you know it must be wonderful for your hands and face, your tub or shower. And always what did you say?
Tassel's Latour.
Well, then you know where we're going tonight.
Oh, sure.
Well, Gracie, why'd you go to all that trouble to make a dope out of me?
It wasn't much trouble, Bill.
Oh, thanks. Well, then you don't object to George going, huh?
Well, I couldn't object. George is a king.
Oh, I see.
George thought I didn't know he goes to burlesque shows, but he never fooled me.
Oh, really? Well, what gave you the tip-off?
Well, I came home one day, and when I took off my hat and coat, he applauded.
Yeah, that was a little suspicious, I
But
think.
He's free to do anything he likes now. A king can do no wrong.
Gee, that's pretty soft. I suppose he'll be staying in bed every morning till 10 o'clock.
Well, why should being a king make him get up 2 hours earlier?
Oh, pardon me.
Come in. Oh, hello, Mr. Postman. Aren't you working awfully late?
This is a social call, Mrs. Burns. I thought you might be interested in what those family tree people told me.
Oh, you got yours too, huh? Are you descended from a long line of mailmen?
No, Mrs. Burns. I'm descended from Ivan the Terrible.
But that makes you a king, too. George isn't the only one.
Oh, no. Everybody in the neighborhood who sent in 50 cents turned out to be a king.
No.
Yes, I think those family tree people are dishonest. If you'll pardon such vigorous language.
Oh, how awful.
I just thought you ought to know about it. Well, good night, Mrs. Burns.
Bill, did you hear that? We may not be royalty at all. And all those titles I gave out. Now I'll have to unload the tailor and discount the butcher.
Oh, now, Gracie, take it easy. I'm sure George is a king and he can prove it. As soon as he gets back from the show. Hurry up, George.
Hi, kids.
Oh, hello, Paul. George will be ready in a minute.
Oh, Paul, did you hear what happened? I sent away 50 cents for George's family tree, and now
I sent away for that thing myself.
Oh, and are you a king, too?
No, I just sent him a quarter. I'm only a lousy duke.
Now I know it's a fake. George isn't a king at all. I'm going to investigate this.
Oh, yes, Gracie. By all means, investigate it first thing tomorrow morning. Hurry up, George.
Ah, greetings, my faithful subjects. You may hold the door open, my queen. His Majesty is ready to mingle with the common people.
Get away from that door, George Burns.
Have a care, my good woman. This is no way to address a king.
You're no king.
Huh?
Sit down.
Oh, yes, dear.
You're staying home with me.
Yes, dear.
And take one of those cigars out of your mouth.
Yes, dear.
You made up this whole thing just so you could see Tassel's Latour.
I made it up?
Yes. You better go into the kitchen and look at the curtains. They've got the only tassels you're going to see tonight.
Well, George and Gracie will be right back, so I'm just going to take a second to remind you that Swan in your house is like money in the bank, because Swan saves you real money. You see, you save with Swan in the kitchen because Swan does the work of expensive package soaps. And you save again in the bathroom because Swan gives you more soap per penny than any of the leading toilet soaps tested. So buy Swan and save money with the soap that's purer than the finest Castile. Well, here they are again, George and Gracie.
George, would you take this can of waste kitchen fat down to the butcher?
Oh, I'll be glad to.
You know, the government needs waste fats to make bombs and bullets.
Oh, sure, sure. I'll be glad to take it, Gracie. And if I don't come back in an hour or two, don't worry.
No, I won't. I took that ticket out of your pocket.
I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in to your CBS station again next week, same time. Now remember, George Burns and Gracie Allen, CBS, next Tuesday night. And don't forget to listen to Swan's other show, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou, over another network, next Friday night. And now till next week, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, hi, Swan. How about you? Good night.